A short prayer. Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to have such a full church and to have welcomed Felicity, Clarabel and Evie and their families and friends to this very special service as we celebrate their baptism? Our reading from the Bible this morning was all about people being baptized. Now that event from the Bible happened 2,000 years ago and 2,000 miles away in a place called Israel. So what has something that happened so long ago and so far away got to do with us? Well, the story, you may have noticed, tells us how Jesus Christ himself was baptized. And because we are followers of Jesus, it's what we have done for 2,000 years to mark people as the people of God. Now, you may have noticed that there were some differences between the baptism in our Bible reading and our baptism this morning of Felicity, Clarabel and Evie. My clothes are a bit different for a start, aren't they? I mean, I've got a leather belt around my waist, but I don't have a big hairy camel hair coat. I don't have a big... John the Baptist, by the way, he'd never cut his hair or his beard, so he would have been very, very hairy. I'm not hairy. I sometimes envy that, but such is life. I don't eat locusts either. Does anybody eat locusts here? Has anybody eaten locusts? Someone's eaten locusts. Where did you eat locusts?
In the UK.
In the UK? Oh, wow. Yeah. I know they actually eat them in quite a few places around the world. I've had fried locusts in soy sauce in Thailand. They tend to be a bit crispy rather than squidgy and leggy. But people do. They're apparently a fantastic source of protein and nutrients. But we don't eat them here because, well, some of us do. But mostly we don't because we don't have locusts in the UK, so it's never really appeared on our menu. Other things like tripe have... I think I'd rather have locusts. But actually, as I say, a good source of nutrition. At St. Mary's, we don't baptise people in the river, even though we've got a river just over there. Some churches do baptise in the river, though, even in the sea, especially in warmer countries. But it's a little bit too cold in England, isn't it, for us all to be jumping in the river. And we don't put people right under the water here at St. Mary's either. Some churches do, though. They might have a big sunken bath at the front where they'll immerse people for their baptisms. Or in a river baptism or a sea baptism, they'll go right under the water as well. In the Orthodox Church, apparently, the priest will get hold of the babies by their feet and just whoosh them straight into the font. They'll do that. We don't do that. We like the night... Anyway, that's why we don't do that. So we all do things a little bit differently. But the main thing you'll see in baptisms, wherever it's gone, the main thing is water. And this water that we see is an earthly symbol of a spiritual truth. We need water to make us clean, don't we? Whenever we have a shower or a bath or a wash, the water washes away our dirt. We need water to keep us alive. If we don't drink enough water, we can become unwell. If we don't drink for 3 days, we can even die. And did you know, I'm sure all grown-ups know, but did you know that when we were growing in our mummy's tummies, we were kept safe in our own special bubble of water? And we got all of our oxygen and our food from this really special tube that went from our mummies to us, in through our tummy button. Isn't that amazing? That's incredible. And then just before we were born, the bubble burst and the water was released so that we could be born into the air. Now, so because water is such an important symbol for our lives, or such an important thing for our lives on earth, water is a symbol of our much more important life in the kingdom of heaven, of having our sins washed away, all of the wrong things that we might have done in our lives washed away, of being reborn as a child of God, and then of needing the ongoing refreshing of the Holy Spirit as we go through life. In the Bible, in a song to God called Psalm 139, not the snappiest of titles, it says, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made." These three beautiful little girls, Evie, Felicity, and Clarabel, are awesome and wonderful. You don't need me to tell you that. Their parents and their godparents and their families are all awesome and wonderful. Every single person here, every single person ever born is awesome and wonderful. This is what the Bible says. God has made us all awesome and wonderful. Now, sometimes we might not feel that, or we might not even believe it. Sometimes the things we see on social media might make us believe differently. Sometimes even people we love might tell us differently. But Almighty God, the creator of the universe, who made 100 billion galaxies, each galaxy with 100 billion stars, looks at each of us and says, "You are awesome and wonderful." It's what he sees in us. God doesn't make anything that isn't awesome and wonderful. Which is why Jesus came. The Bible says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that all who believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." There's nothing that we can do to stop God loving us. But he longs for us to love him in return. But he won't make us love him, because that wouldn't be love. He loves us enough to let each of us choose. Even though it breaks his heart when we reject him and then have to watch us face the consequences of our choice, he will still let us go. But he will always long for us to return to him. I think many parents know that pain. But when we do turn back to him, he welcomes us with open arms and overflowing joy. The Bible says that there's a great party in heaven, a great banquet in heaven, every time someone does that. And when we turn back to him, we hear him say, "You are my beloved child. I am so proud of you." Our prayer for Clarabel, for Evie, and Felicity, and everyone here, is that you will all know the overwhelming joy and peace of the love of God in your life for all eternity. And if you want to know how you can know that love, please come and speak to me after the service, or if you haven't got time after the service, please find me as soon as you can. Speak to someone. And then know the love of God. Amen.